Good Sunday morning and welcome into Big Orange Sunday. We got a full show today, so I'm going to get right to it. Of course, we're brought to you each and every week by Franklin American Mortgage Company, online at franklinamerican.com. Of course, Franklin American Mortgage Company is an equal housing lender. You can call them 615-778-1000. Again, franklinamerican.com for Franklin American Mortgage Company. All right, as I mentioned, the full show today, of course, Sweet 16, excuse me, not quite so sweet for both the Lady Vols and the Men Vols programs this past week. The M&M teams, Michigan, Maryland, should have picked on another letter maybe. Got both teams out of here. We will be talking with Bill Justice about that later in the show. Konzo Martin, of course, staying with the University of Tennessee. We will discuss that with Bill. Also, after this segment, going to bring on Antoine Davis. Antoine is the Vol for Life coordinator, former outstanding offensive lineman at the University of Tennessee. We're going to talk about the spring game and something a little bit different this year at halftime. We'll be talking with Antoine about that a little bit later. Might also ask him about where he sees this offensive line coming into this year. As I mentioned, those spring practices in the final week, three practices and a spring game left. We're going to discuss that right now and kind of where Tennessee is, what we've been looking at, and what we may have a chance to look forward to. I was back at Tennessee this past week, watched another practice, had an opportunity to visit a lot of the coaches. Have a pretty good idea, they do, obviously. If anyone should, it should be them. But pretty good idea about where this team is right now. 11 practices in, and going to just kind of hit some of the noteworthy things I think worth talking about right now. Remembering that spring practice is spring practice. It's an opportunity, again, to move some players around, take a look here, take a look there. Certainly they're doing that on the defensive side of the ball, looking at a couple of new schemes, maybe some ways to attack the teams that Tennessee needs to beat. We all know who those are. This spring, as I mentioned before, completely different than last spring. Not trying to learn people's names, find out where the meeting rooms are. This is the staff now that has been together. They know each other. Most of them knew each other anyway. Know the players well. And, of course, those early enrollees in. So a completely different spring. And the big plus that I've seen so far is this, quite frankly, and I mentioned this many times. Most of the players, the great majority of the players that have needed to stay healthy have stayed healthy. The whole key in spring is having players out there learning the system, being able to watch their progression, being able to move them around inside. And when you're hurt, you can't do that. I've always thought of spring practice kind of like homework and school work and classroom work in a regular classroom. And then when you get into the season, that's when the tests start. But this is the learning time, and that has been a big, big plus. There's certainly been a few miss a little bit of time. Some of the players that have missed the whole year, you know, when you got a Randolph or a Salisbury, when you have an older player miss, that's much more acceptable because they've been there. They know the system, and they also know what's expected of them. So that has been a big plus so far. All right, let's get right into some of the noteworthy things that I have seen so far this spring. Again, from talking to all of the coaches, from watching a little bit of tape, just a few thoughts right now. Early enrollees, as I mentioned last week, of the 14 in right now, I mentioned last week that probably 8 to 9 clearly are going to be in the 2 deep. I think you can move that up to 10, maybe even 11 right now. The 14 young men that came in this spring, I don't think there's any doubt that 10 of them will be clearly in the 2 deep. And I'm just talking about at this point right now, not what might transpire a little bit later. But from what they've shown so far, 10 will clearly be in the 2 deep. I think that may go up as high as 11, 12, maybe even 13. I think there's probably a good opportunity that one or two may end up redshirting next year. But that's where Tennessee is right now. Let me just throw a couple of names out there, and I'll hit this a little bit later. I may double touch on some of these things. One of the last notes I made as I was preparing for today's show is after looking at everything, I think there is a better than 50% possibility. I think it'll probably be 75, 80, maybe even more than that, that next year's team will have more or as many freshmen, true freshman starters as senior starters. I don't know that we've ever had that before at Tennessee. My guess is we haven't. I might miss some time back in there. But I think there is a great possibility and a probability that there will be as many true freshmen starting next year as seniors. It says a couple of things. Number one, obviously, it says that we don't have very deep and strong senior class. But the other part of it is on the glass, that's the glass half empty. The glass half full is we got a lot of good, talented players coming in, several of them up there right now. Let me just mention a couple of them to you. I want to hit some of these real quickly. Emmanuel Mosley at cornerback, if he stays healthy, will be the starter opposite Sutton. Don't think there's any question about that. He needs to get a little bit bigger, but he can do something that we haven't had a cornerback do up there for a long time. He can run, and he can run fast. And he has been getting a lot of the matchups. When they have a lot of their one-on-one work, he goes against Malone. Both these young men are going to be outstanding players, I think, if they stay healthy. Really like Mosley as a cornerback. Josh Malone at wide receiver. Mentioned him last week. Won't touch that. He'll be a starter at wide receiver. Again, I'm assuming all these guys are going to be healthy. Tight end, either Helm or Wolf, the two freshmen, are going to be starters. Don't think there's any doubt about that. And when they go to two tight ends, they'll probably be the first two tight ends there. Coleman Thomas, freshman right tackle, offensive lineman, has really looked good. He will be starting somewhere in the offensive line. My guess is it'll probably be right tackle, a little bit easier position to play. Jalen Hurd at tailback probably won't start, but simply for this reason. Coach Jones only has about five or six, maybe seven seniors that are going to be playing much next year. One of those is Marlon Lane. My suspicion is, and from coaching that position, I certainly would want to do it. I think they'll probably start the senior. You're going to play two or three tailbacks anyway. But regardless, Jalen Hurd is going to play a lot of football next year. And you almost have a position where it's probably a co-star. He'll play as much as Lane, I think, when it's all said that. Jacob Johnson at linebacker, really coming on. He will back up A.J. Johnson. Big, physical, good-looking kid. They moved him around a little bit this spring to kind of get a look. My guess is because he's a freshman, they'll probably pick the middle linebacker position, leave him there, be on the special teams, but has an opportunity to play a lot of ball last year. Mixon coming on the defensive line. I'm talking about true freshmen here now, not just the early enrollees. Mixon starting to come on the defensive line. I think he'll be in the two deep there. And I'm saying I think because there are some really potentially excellent prospects coming in next fall in that defensive line class that's going to be in there too. Looks to me like Salisbury and Williams are going to be the starters. I wanted to mention Owen Williams. He is really coming along at defensive tackle, started a little bit slowly. Of course, junior college defensive lineman, really coming along. I think will firmly, by the time spring's over, will firmly be a starter for next year. I mentioned this from time to time. You know who the best people to talk to about the defensive line is? The best person on the team. It's not the defensive line coach, I've always felt like. It's the offensive line coach. Because he's the guy that goes against them all the day. And talking to some of the offensive linemen, you talk to the offensive linemen, they think Owen Wilson's going to be a heck of a football player. So does the offensive line coach. So let me just one quick thing on Owen Williams, and it also goes to Blair, the offensive lineman. You've heard me say this before. Junior college players, particularly non-skill players, a little easier for a skill player to come in and have success because it's pretty much dependent upon skill. Patterson a couple of years ago, and certainly this year, we're going to have that with Pearson, I think. But linemen take a little bit more on that. Blair has not had a very good spring, quite frankly, but he's big. He's got a chance to be really, really good, I think. Some of these junior college players in particular, they in the line, they have a harder time, and I think this you can see this throughout history, they have a harder time coming in and adapting because of the physicalness of it and also learning. Offensive line is a tough position to learn. I think Blair's going to be fine. And one good thing about him is, don't think Tennessee wants to do this, but there is that possibility. He's the only one of the three junior college players that has a redshirt year. All right, he has three to play two, I believe. That's what I've been led to believe. The other two do not. Some talk about the Carr at defensive tackle getting a look at the offensive line. I don't know if that's happened yet. I suspect it will happen. I think Danny O'Brien might at some point. If you go back and look at the historically the last 30 years, a lot of Tennessee's very best offensive linemen came to Tennessee and got a look at the defensive line on the at first blush when they were first there. You know, it's not a matter of that they can't play over there. It's that there are better players coming in. You want to recruit, other than a big 6'8" tackle, most of the guys you would like to recruit are guys that can play defense. You give them a chance there. If they can't, you move them over onto offense. Now, I don't know if that'll happen to Carr. I don't know if that'll happen to O'Brien, but there's a possibility of that. All Carr needs, I think, really, is maturity and toughness. He has a redshirt year available. I would not be surprised if they don't redshirt him next year. He's certainly not ready to play defense. Quarterback, quickly on this. At some point, this is going to be a big plus position for the Vols. At some point. It's not there right now. Just some observations. It is obvious watching that Ferguson is an obvious comer. He's got talent. He's got that, I guess for lack of a better term, swagger. He makes mistakes, but hey, isn't that what practice is for? Had a few coaches tell me, hey, if those guys didn't make mistakes, I wouldn't need you out here coaching them. That's your job. Get them better at those mistakes. Worley to me, and again, this doesn't come from any coaches, but just watching, Worley to me, it looks like the likely starter. And let me tell you why. There's a couple of reasons why. A lot of it has to do with the inexperience of the offense. This is going to be an inexperienced offensive line. It's going to be a somewhat inexperienced wide receiver and tight end because the youth, not somewhat, it's going to be inexperienced. Same way a little bit at running back. I think that when it's all said and done, Coach Jones may decide, I don't think he's made a decision yet, may decide to go with Worley simply because he's played, he's a senior. He'll also provide that type of leadership. Having said that, I don't think there's any way that Ferguson is not going to get, if he's healthy, a lot of snaps next fall. He may end up being the starter. I think Dobbs right now is third, but still has an opportunity. And I think Peterman is fourth right now, but a solid football player. And as I mentioned, I think Ferguson's going to get a lot of playing time if he's not the starter. All this young man needs, I think, is just experience, and you only get those in games. A couple of other notes on here. One of the incoming safeties coming in, we got five of them coming in, I believe will start opposite Randolph. Don't know who that's going to be. Could be Kelly. Could be one of the Berries. Could be Galdon. What's the other one's name? Anyways, it's going to be one of those. And the other one, I think, will be a backup. I think when you look at it, four or five freshmen, true freshmen, are going to be in the two deep in the defensive secondary. That's for five defensive back positions. Remember, nickel position now is a starting position. We start five of those. The corner opposite Sutton is going to be Mosley, looks like. I believe from talking to Coach Jones and Coach Jancic and Coach Martinez, I believe they will start Evan Berry at corner simply because they got to get a couple of corners out of this class. Payne, who's been there early, has been a little slower to pick things up. That's not the right word. And that kind of intimates that he's not very smart. That's not true at all. He needs to have a good last week. I think he's going to be a player here too. Bates or Bryant coming in will be a backup at the least. One of those two, and maybe both, will be a backup at the least at outside linebacker. Hendricks and Henderson are going to get a ton of playing time, I think, at defensive end. A lot of that is going to be depending on what they do with Kurt Majette. And that position they've been working him with, I call it the Leonard Little position. They've got another name for it, I'm sure. But if you remember, Johnny Chavis used to move Leonard Little around. He's that type of guy. I think we'll see that. Weathered, if he makes his grades, will be at that position also. Tennessee wants to redshirt about 10 from this freshman class coming in. Remember, we got 28 freshman signees coming in. Either they're coming in. We got another 6 that redshirted. That's 34 in this freshman class. Way too many. They will end up redshirting somewhere around 10. And that's a great position to be in. I mentioned about Blair being underwhelmed. I'm not worried at all about him. I'm really not. He's got talent. It may take him a little bit longer. It may take him more than a year. Remember what I told you all last year. From statistics in the past, if a junior college player comes in the fall, it normally takes him about half a season before you can get anything out of him at all. So this young man's only had about 11 practices. He's going to be a good football player. That's about it. Got some other things I need to talk about, but I want to move on. Again, the big point that I wanted to make was, one of the big points, when it's all said and done, I believe they're going to have as many true freshmen starting as seniors on this football team. One last thing. Areas where you don't have to have a lot of depth. All right, offensive line, quarterback, and linebacker. Those three positions, you can play with five or six offensive linemen. Normally you're going to play with one quarterback. Same way with linebackers. Where you need depth is at running back. We're going to have that. Defensive tackle, we're going to have that. Wide receiver and defensive backs because of the packages. All those are areas where we're going to be awfully young, but we're going to be talented, and we're going to have some depth there. All right. I've rambled on long. I want to get Antoine Davis on. Quick break. We'll be right back on Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Twenty-one past the hour on Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Of course, they're always online at franklinamerican.com, and you can call them at 615-778-1000. Still one of the fastest-growing mortgage companies in the United States. Of course, they are the sponsor of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. All right, I want to talk to one of my favorite folks up in Knoxville, Tennessee, Antoine Davis. On with Antoine, the Vol for Life coordinator at the University of Tennessee, works primarily with the football program, maybe exclusively. I'm going to find out. Antoine, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Doug. How are you?
Thanks so much for being part of the show. Couple of things. Want to get right into it. A little something different for the spring game this year, and I want to lead into this and let you kind of take it from there. One of the things that it appears to me that Coach Jones and this staff, and I think Coach Hart, have really, really put a lot of emphasis on is trying to get as many former players, Vol for Life guys, as you like to call them, back involved in the program. You've been put in charge of that. I think it's a great hire because I know the respect that everybody has for you, but give me about a minute or two of just what that program's all about, and then let's get into what you have coming up for the spring game.
Well, the program itself is really twofold. The primary reason for starting the program is essentially, you know, if you're in the NFL, it's our player engagement program. At other places, it's our player development program. But Vol for Life is really designed to help our current players be better prepared for life after football, whether they make it to the NFL or not. So we want to teach these guys life skills. We want to teach them all kinds of things, etiquette, media training, branding, resume writing, you know, networking, relationship building, and decision making. So that's what the Vol for Life program at its core really was started to do. And secondly, every former player feels like they're a Vol for Life, and they rightfully so, they are. And those guys, the initiative that I have from Coach Jones there is to get as many of these guys back and involved in the program as much as we possibly can. Get them back to town as many times as we can. And I'll tell you one big key, we're never asking for anything other than for them to come and enjoy and be a part of the Tennessee family and kind of reconnect. And that's what the Vol for Life program has been. My job has been easier because Coach has allowed me to kind of have the freedom to get these guys in around practice and all the different things, come into the building as much as possible without really a whole lot of red tape to get them in. You know, pretty much guys can call and say, I'm coming, or they can show up and say, I'm here, and I'm going to take care of them.
A little bit about that. If you don't have a head coach, it's like anything else, Antoine. If you don't have a head coach that is 100% behind this, you really can't get it done. And from everything I've seen, that looks to be like it's one of the big things that Coach Jones wants to get done. He wants those former players, the history of this program, to be back in this program.
There's no question about it. And that, like I said, that makes my job really easy because I know that I can kind of go out on a limb sometimes and say, Coach, I'm taking care of the former players. And he might turn his head a little bit, but if once I say that, he knows I'm doing the right things and I'm taking care of these guys. And honestly, his whole staff, I mean, they're so welcoming. to the former players when they come around. They're willing to talk to them. They appreciate the history. They appreciate the tradition, and they want to know more about it, and they love getting to meet these guys and talk to them.
All right, let's talk a little bit about what I think is a pretty innovative. Maybe this has been done somewhere else. Halftime of the Orange and White game this Saturday, you put together a little something that's going to involve former players. What do you got, around 200 coming back, you think?
Absolutely. Now, I can't take full credit for this one. This is something that was kind of done and tried a couple of times prior to me getting back to Knoxville. But I think by far this is going to definitely be the biggest one. Right now, I had 72 guys confirmed by my deadline, but we're going to have at least 80 guys that actually want to play in the game. And then we'll have over 200 players coming in the night before. We'll have a little reception the night before. We'll have 200, 250 players in the building and just kind of sitting around talking trash and probably telling a few lies about how good they were. But on that game, you're going to have names like, this is what's cool about it. You're going to have Al Wilson. You're going to have Dante Stallworth, Leonard Little. You're going to have Dewey Warren, Dick Williams. I mean, honestly, the guys from the 60s are talking the most trash. I got about 15 guys from the 60s that have agreed to come and participate, including Lester McClain. So it's going to be a fantastic day on Saturday.
Well, Dewey Warren hasn't quit talking trash. He was, I think, one of the original trash talkers up there. So, man, Antoine, that is absolutely super. I got a big night. I know, big get together. They're always fun. I'm assuming that'll be down the Letterman's room down at the stadium.
We'll be down there. We'll have so many people. We'll probably have to go up on the terrace, up in the press box, just so we have enough space. You know, last year we had 300. I'm expecting about 400 people all together at that event.
Who's going to coach this team, these teams?
You know what? We're going to let them coach themselves. We're going to let them nominate their own coaches. We're going to let them nominate their own positions. And I had to mention this, one other couple of names to know. Tony Robinson is actually going to come back and participate in this thing. Peerless Price is going to be there. So can you imagine Tony Robinson throwing a pass to Peerless Price? I mean, it's going to be a fantastic day. It should be a who's who. And there'll be some of them who will come and they'll get taped, Doug, and they have no intentions of stepping on the field, but they'll be on the sidelines talking much trash.
Are they going to run through the tee again, I'm assuming?
Well, I've actually come up with an idea, and it's going to be kind of a little secret if I can pull it off. It's not going to be running through the tee, but we have something else that we're going to try that I think will be pretty cool.
Man, that's great. Running clock, I know. How long will it be?
It'll be a 25-minute running clock, and that's all the time we get. Hopefully, we'll be on time. We have a pretty tight schedule, but we'll have a 25-minute running clock. You should see quite a few folks. The format's going to be about a 7-on-7, just so we don't have too many folks running into each other, and hopefully we don't have any pull hamstrings or turf toes by the time it's over with.
Well, I think that Coach Saban would probably be proud of this group, because I can't imagine this being a fast-paced offense getting up to that line
of scrimmage. He would probably absolutely love this. I'm not sure how fast we'll get the plays off, but I'm sure, you know, there'll be more than 10 seconds left, you know, passed on the clock.
So. Well, I know it's going to be timely, because the one thing I've learned about your boss is if it's supposed to be 8:01, it better be 8:01. So,
well,
anyway.
Trust me, and I always make sure I pad a little time in there. It'll be a fun display. You should see interviews, the guys on the sidelines that don't get in the game. And one of the neat things, the reason why we made a deadline for the signups, Doug, is that you're going to see some of the players that are on the field. They'll actually have their old jersey number and their names on the back of their shirts as they're playing. Some of the guys who were latecomers won't have that, but you'll at least get to see who some of those folks are. And also, you'll be able to get, hopefully we'll get some live interviews on the sideline during the game. It should be pretty fun.
Well, this is one of the guys that's behind the scenes. It's pretty easy for a coach to be out there in front, and certainly players, but it's folks like Antone Davis that really are the meat and potatoes of what's going on up there. And Antone, great. What 2 years back up there for you now? Three? What is it?
Yep, this is going on my third season.
I know you lived here in Nashville for a little while, and great player for us, and man, you're doing a great job. You really are. I've heard from so many of the guys that you've gotten in touch with. There's a bunch of them out there, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Doug.
Talk to you. Antone Davis, again, outstanding player. You remember him. This is going to be a neat, neat deal. It really is. Lots of time. If you're looking to get some, maybe if you're still a kid at heart and you're looking to get some autographs, at least 200 former players and several All-Americans up there and other folks. So it's going to be a neat deal. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Billy Justice will be with us. We're going to get into the basketball program. So stay right here with us. Franklin American Mortgage Company, You know, if you're a college football fan, I know you know about Franklin American simply because of Franklin American Mortgage Company. But if you're in need of a, well, if you have a question or in need of a refinancing, or you're looking to buy a new home, or as I mentioned, refinance an existing home, well, that's what Franklin American Mortgage is the best at. 615-778-1000. Of course, they're online at franklinamerican.com. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. Yeah. 33 past the hour on Big Orange Sunday. We're here every Sunday, 8 o'clock Central. By the way, let me just throw in here real quickly, Chalk Talk Volunteer Style, that free newsletter that I send out about every couple of weeks, growing all the time. If you're interested, want to sign up for it, it's Doug, D-O-U-G, at the letter D, the letter M, like Doug Matthews, dmteamsports.com. And I think we've had about 8 of them go out about every 2 weeks. Last one just did one on the single wing Tennessee tailbacks that was awfully fun to do. All right, let's bring in Billy the Legend. Billy, of course, brought to you by England Erosion Seed and Supply, always online at englanderosion.com. Excavating contractors, seeding contractors, or, well, if you like me, about twice a year I get out there for about 15 minutes, toss a little seed around so I can say I've worked in my yard for the year, and it grows pretty quickly. Billy, how are you?
Doing well, Coach. How about you?
I'm doing well. I know you... You heard Antoine, I know, on there talking about the, some of the guys from your era are going to be out there. I can't imagine Dewey Warren throwing a ball past five yards right now.
You know, I've seen Dewey quite a few times during this stretch. Probably still has the arm. I never had any mobility. He may be just like he always was.
Well, he's probably the one that you're probably right on that. I think Bobby Scott's thinking about maybe playing also. I saw Bobby at practice up there. Anyway, that's going to be a good deal. You know,
fun time for those guys.
Love those guys from that era, and maybe it's just because as you get older, you maybe you get a little bit closer. But I know same way with it. They were there at the same time you were. That mid early to mid 60s all the way to the end of 60s. That's a pretty darn good close group of guys in basketball and football, and a bunch of them still live in Tennessee.
Yeah, and I still see a lot of those football players. He mentioned Dick Williams, who, of course, was a colleague of mine in high school. We played against his high school team in a bowl game, and still a good friend to this day. He was the captain of that team and a standout offensive lineman on our freshman team. And a lot of those guys are still around, and I see them on game days in Knoxville, and it brings back some great memories.
All right, let's talk basketball. As I mentioned at the top of the show, kind of instead of a Sweet 16, turned a little bit sour this year, but at least – both teams got there. Let's just recap real quickly the Michigan and Maryland ball games. Michigan in particular, Bill certainly had opportunities to win, and at this point in the season, when you get down to the just 16 of them left, that's about all you can ask for.
Well, you know it is. You go into those games. Tennessee's men's team made a great run from the end of the season and the end of SEC play, end of the tournament. Winning three games in the NCAA tournament, coming so close to beating Michigan to move on into the Elite Eight, where they would probably, if they gotten far enough, ended up playing Kentucky again. So a disappointment in that one game, but certainly ending on a high note, a good season for the Vols and Coach Konzo Martin. A little more disappointment, I think, on the Lady Vols side, where Maryland just had their way with them. Tennessee was, they pushed Tennessee around pretty much the whole game. And with that national championship being here in Nashville and Lady Vols home state, I'm sure a big disappointment that they will not be there to play in the Final Four.
By the way, I meant to say something about this top of the hour. Let me say it right now. If you have not picked up a copy of the Tennessean, today, just a great job by that paper of kind of, I guess, what would be the word, really emphasizing or historically bringing out the history of the women's game. A lot of it started right here in Nashville, Tennessee, with Nashville Business College. I have a good friend of mine that was from my junior college, Dixie Woodall, was one of those. But it's a great story. The Tennessean has done, I think, a wonderful job of covering this. This Final Four, women's Final Four, is a big, big deal for a city, and it's great to get that here. But anyway, if you haven't read that, and I haven't had an opportunity to read all of it yet, pick it up, read it. It's a great look at the women's game, how it got started, and of course, At the top of that heap right now is Pat Summitt, without question. Nice article in there about her on that too, Bill.
Doug, it's a scrapbook. It is a keepsake on women's basketball, on the history going back. Some of the I have not read all of it either, but there were a couple of articles in there that that I had to read on some of the former players and some of the history of ladies athletics and ladies basketball in particular. So it is a must read, and it is something that's a keepsake as well. I'll certainly hold on to it.
A lot of those ladies from that era are still living around Nashville also. So again, it's a great read on that. Bill, let's talk about Konzo Martin. Last week we didn't know exactly where we were on that. We do now. I know you've had an opportunity to dig into that a little bit. Tell us exactly where things stand.
I intend to contact Coach Martin here before long. I didn't want to do anything while everything's going on, let things get a little more settled. As we know, he is going to be coming back to Tennessee. I don't think there's anything in ink yet between the university and Coach Martin in terms of an extension or a raise. Everything you hear from both sides is everybody's happy, and we're working on it, and we don't have anything to announce yet. So until that's done, Doug, you know, it's not final. So I'm sure that they're hashing that out with agents. But Coach Martin has said that this is where he wants to be, and he wants to be here for a long time. He feels like the program is in a great position to move forward and to continue to have success at the top of the Southeastern Conference. We'll talk about what's coming up for Tennessee maybe this show or sometime in the future. And myself, I've looked at it, and I think things are probably a little brighter coming to the next season than most fans do.
And nothing really, maybe a little unusual, but remember, Coach Martin has 2 years left on his contract. There's going to be an extension there. You know it's going to be at least to 4 years because it's very hard to go out and recruit if you – say I've only got a contract for 3 and I want you to be here 4. My guess is it'll probably be 4, maybe possibly 5 on that. It's really not that big a deal because there is an understanding. And those things now take, when I talk about those things, the contract, the working, the wording, the bonuses, you know, all those things take time to kind of get down on paper. So that's going to happen somewhere in the future. But the big thing is he was under contract anyway, so there's not a big discrepancy there on that. And, you know, I think for the most part, it's probably going to be a fair deal for everybody on that. As Bill mentioned, if you've listened to the show over the years, you know that we do a couple of things here at the end of the season. We talk about the past, previous, kind of Bill talks a little bit about some of the, he gives out a few awards on that. And then the next show, we talk more about the future. Maybe we'll mix a little of those in. We're still going to do a couple more shows with Bill on this. And today, because of spring practice and because of wanting to get Antone Davis on, we'll probably kind of stretch this out a little bit into a couple of two, three more shows. But, Bill, let's just talk about a little bit about this team. So I wanted to ask you, already been one young man underclassman leave. That is not a surprise in college basketball anymore because of if they see they're not going to play, all these young men, most of them want to play. So really not unusual for that to happen.
No, it is not. And Quentin Chavis is the young man you're talking about. He only played in 9 games this year, had more minutes last year. And just the style and the way things look like they're going to play in the future, he was on track for graduation, and he decided he wanted to go somewhere where he'd have a better chance to play. And you, if you look at rosters, almost everybody has these. And to only have one is not disturbing at all because guys do want a chance to play. They see that that's not going to happen where they are, and so they move on.
Bill, looking at this team, I had the opportunity, I watched 2 games up there, but down on the floor where you could see some things. It was pretty apparent to me, just from an athletic standpoint. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be a great basketball player, but he was a little bit, or maybe the others were just a little bit more athletic, a little more jumping, a little faster it looked to be on the court. So from that standpoint, let's talk a little bit about who's going to be leaving now, talk about them just a little bit. We'll certainly want to get into what you think is going to happen with Stokes, and then we'll work into the what's coming back next year. But let's start with McCray, who had about as good a senior year, I think, as you can probably have.
One of those guys that, Doug, from freshman to senior year, we watched him get better every year. And by the time he was a senior, actually early in the year, didn't take him all year to prove it, he was an all-Southeastern Conference caliber player, a guy who could score, a guy who defended well, who handled the ball well. He was their top scorer. When you look at his season-ending average at 18.7 points a game, in college basketball today, that's really a lot of points. You have so much balance on rosters that, you know, usually your leading scorer is going to be in that 14, 15, 16-point range unless it's something extraordinary. And to be the leading scorer and have almost 19 points a game in the Southeastern Conference, you are really, really a good offensive player. He'll have a chance to play somewhere. I keep an eye on the NBA mock draft boards, and some of them are very accurate. And he shows late in the second round in some he's not on there, which means he will be able to negotiate something maybe as a free agent. But the only thing he's got to do, I think, is work on the body. He's not physically thick. He's so thin that at his position at the next level, he's going to run into guys that are a little more stout.
As you're looking at what did Tennessee lose? Four players, is that right?
Well, they lose McCray, they lose Maimon, they lose Antonio Barton, and then the transfer there, and then Stokes that we talk about. Well, let's see. I guess Damonte Edwards is also gone.
Let's talk a little bit about Maimon. Ended up sitting on the bench quite a bit in that last ball game. But let's talk a little bit about him and what he has done for this program.
Foul trouble early there and had to sit out, 14 minutes in the first half. Took him completely out of his rhythm. Hurt Tennessee's chances to maybe double low with the two big guys. The big thing that we're going to miss out of Jerron Maimon is his leadership and his vocal leadership. You see it in games. He's the guy that does the, hey, guys, let's get together here. But, boy, you really see it in practice, Doug. If you attend a practice, he is almost as vocal as the coaches. He is on guys to hustle. He is on guys to put forth the effort to get on the floor after loose balls. So the main place, they'll miss him in his size and his strength, but somebody's got to step forward and be a vocal leader for this team next year.
Everything, I guess, about Stokes is going to be a guess until he comes out and says something one way or the other. I tell you one thing that he said, though. You mentioned this all along, Bill, and if you listen to him talk, this is a very smart young man. But one thing he mentioned, they asked him something about pretty much right after the game. I don't know if it's in the interview after the game or maybe the day after, about whether he made his decision or not. And he said something I hadn't heard many players say. He said, listen, if I had could announce my decision right now, what would that tell everybody about me being wanting to play this past week or so? You know, how can you – You make that decision after the year. Hadn't thought about that. Pretty sharp on his part.
That comment right there is about all you need to know about a young man. I mean, that really resonates and says something about guys who one day after the season's over are saying, yeah, I'm leaving, going to the NBA. He said, you know, I don't know how somebody can play for their college team and be thinking about that decision. He said, no, I haven't thought about it at all. I'll look at it now and see where I stand, but there's no way I can make a decision because it hadn't entered my mind. Very, very solid statement on his part. And I know it's true. He is a guy, Doug, that doesn't say much. He doesn't show a lot of emotion. But, boy, this guy plays hard. He's a great teammate. He comes out and he does the heavy-duty shovel work every single day, both in practice, in the offseason, and during games. So he's got a decision to make. He is a guy that the NBA looks at as being a really strong, good power forward in college who probably needs to be 3 inches taller and shoot it from the outside to translate to the NBA. So chance for him to play somewhere, but would he stand to gain if he came back next year? Probably if he can develop his outside shot. If I were he, that would be what I would be working on, being able to face up and shoot the ball from 15, 18 feet.
You know, Bill, this goes back a few years, but he reminds me a lot, maybe not quite as wide as Wesley Unseld. Similar type player, you know, not maybe didn't have all the height, but boy, take a big space eater and got great hands. So anyway, we'll talk about that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Bill Justice, Of course, Bill, brought to you by England Erosion Seed and Supply, online at englanderosion.com. We'll be right back on Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Fifty past the hour on Big Orange Sunday again, and we're here every Sunday, 8 to 9 Central, and you can pick us up. Franklin American Mortgage Company is our sponsor. Billy the Legend's with us talking a little basketball. We're going to move into the returning players. Again, we're kind of double up on this, spend a whole show next week talking about it with Bill. Let's go up to Sumner County. David joins us. David, how are you?
I'm doing fine. For anybody that ain't heard, another anchor went down in the Tennessee River last night. Our baseball team beat them.
I saw that in the paper this morning. We're moving up in the baseball part of things. Much improvement there already.
We sure are. And that article in the Tennessean, having grown up back in that day, about the NBC and the women's teams down there, they started what is known now as women's basketball. They played five, home five back in the day, and they'd play anybody, anywhere, anytime, and they were good. I don't know of any men's teams that could have beat them back in that day.
I loved that article on Nero White, David. I thought that was great.
Yes.
Somebody that I had just heard about, don't know personally, but found that fascinating.
And Betty Wiseman from Portland, she played basketball up there, and she was known as Betty Sam Wiseman, and she was an awesome post player. She played back in the day of 3-on-3, but when she got to college, they changed all that. But talking about the Stokes kid, he's quiet, but you know, I think he gets that from his parents. When you see them at a ball game, they're awful quiet and don't say a lot and holler and scream. But that basketball team up there, one thing that I like about them more than anything is they're kid-friendly. If you got up there and saw that team come on to do the early shooting and stuff and a kid walked up to them and wanted a picture with them or an autograph, they stopped and they did that for those kids up there. A lot of college teams don't allow the players to do that, so.
And David, I'll interrupt you there. I agree with you 100%. I've seen him do it in early shoot-arounds, and that's part of Konzo Martin. He says, be a good person, be a good teammate, and be kind to people, be a good student, and basketball will take care of itself. So that's part of his teaching.
Yeah, I had a grandson up there sitting on the bench one day, and the chair backs watched him, and the ball took off the midcourt, and before I knew it, my grandson done got the ball back and throwed it back to him. They all come around, gave him high fives and everything. But anyway, I think we got a lot coming back, and more than people think, too. I think there's some athletes on that team, and y'all have a good week, and I'll get off of here. Thank you.
Bill, let's talk about some of those. Certainly, we saw Richardson about midseason on really blossom, I guess would be the best way to put it. He's a guy that's, I think, proven now. He was always probably the best defender. Certainly from a guard position, forward position, but he became a scorer at the end of the year.
Doug, from an emotional defender who wants to guard the best player on the other team, he's now an offensive weapon, and we really saw that as it went into the NCAA tournament. Coming back next year preseason, he's one of the guys who will be pegged as a possible All Southeastern Conference player headed back for Tennessee.
With Stokes, and there hadn't been any timetable on that. I think it's pretty safe to say that with his coach coming back, that probably helps that situation, Bill. But really, I don't think nobody knows right now, do they?
No, they don't. I think he's well grounded. His mom and dad and his family are going to be part of the decision making process here. I think it comes down to two or three things. Number one, this has to be the number one thing. If the NBA doesn't think he's completely ready, does another year of college basketball help him? What are his options? If it's not to get drafted in the NBA, does he go and play internationally somewhere outside the U.S.? Or does he go to the NBA Development League? Very few of those guys have a lot of success of that. So our listeners will know, there are 30 players picked in the first round of the NBA draft. All of those players from 1 to 30 are given guaranteed contracts. If they're drafted in the first round, they have a 3-year guaranteed contract. They will be paid and they will be on the team. Second round draft picks, and that's where he's projected to be, Doug, they are not guaranteed. You have to make the team in order to get any money at all. There's no guarantee. Now, they can guarantee a second-round contract if they want to, but the NBA does not have to.
Bill, assuming that he comes back for this discussion, can this team be a better basketball team than the one that ended up this season?
I tell you what, they can be very good, and one of the things that's out there in circulation, people that follow Tennessee know that MJ Rhett, a 6'9", 230 player at Tennessee State University, is looking to transfer. Tennessee is hot after him, and he, his own record, is saying, I'd love to come to Tennessee and play. If Jarnell Stokes is going to be there, I'd love to play beside him. So, you know, that would give them, again, two big guys inside. That's what they need next year. On paper, if you look at what they have coming back, they are a quick, outside-oriented team that will have really good size all the way across, but even if Stokes comes back, not a lot of bulk inside. They'll be, you know, from the 6'5 to 6'8 range across. Richardson, Thompson, Derek Reese, Armani Moore, and Robert Hubbs, healthy Robert Hubbs, those guys are all 6'5 to 6'8, good range, good quickness, and good movement.
He would be eligible because he is graduating, correct?
That's correct. He's eligible wherever he goes, and let me tell you, there's a good list of people after him. He is eligible to play next year, right?
Bill, we're going to get into this a lot more next week. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. And any last thoughts?
Well, you know, we got a national championship game coming up in the men's game tomorrow. We've got the women's Final Four going, so we've still got four really good basketball games left to go into college that we'll be watching, and we'll continue to talk about Tennessee for a couple more weeks.
Talk to you next Saturday.
Thanks, Doug.
Bill Justice, Billy, brought to you by England Erosion Seed and Supply, always online at englanderosion.com. Bill, of course, on the Saturday show also, and you can hear it from 9 to 11 Central, brought to you by Forklift Systems. Of course, Big Orange Sunday, every Sunday, 8 to 9 then. I mentioned the Chalk Talk volunteer style. Again, if you'd like to sign up for that, I think you'll enjoy it. It kind of looks at the history of the University of Tennessee, going back about as far as you can, and also gets into some of the things going on off the field of play. Of course, it's about the football program. Doug, D-O-U-G, at the letter D, the letter M, team, that's T-E-A-M, sports.com. Also started a little segment this past week called On the Road with the Governor's Highway Safety Office. I'll be visiting spending about 20 to 24, 25 weeks on the road, going to different places. I was up in Knoxville this past week. We'll be going, visiting some of the schools and also former players, and we'll be talking about that. I think I'm going to have a lot of fun doing that. Hope to bring a little information to you on that. All right, that does it for another Big Orange Sunday. We'll talk about the spring game next week, kind of end that up a little bit, talk with Bill next week, and make sure you're a part of the show. We're here again, 8 to 9 Central, Big Orange Sunday, always brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. And, of course, they are always online at franklinamerican.com. Have a great week.